Good morning, America. How are you? Hey, I want to share a story to start off this morning that if you were at the Choices Gala a couple years ago, a handful of you have already heard, but it perfectly demonstrates how I feel this morning. And so before I do that, though, just because many of you have no clue who I am, I am originally from the Arkansas Delta, okay, small towns. I lived on a farm in a little community called Levesque, which is about 15 minutes to the east of Wynn, Arkansas on 64 Highway. There's a little cotton gin right there. If you've ever passed it, that was where I lived. And so I grew up country, okay? And so I'm just curious because this is a super nice sanctuary and I'm used to it. But again, I look out and I see elegant, awesome people of class and stature and all those things. And for a country farm boy, we need to get on the same page before I can proceed, okay? And so this is what I need to know. We're going to take a poll very quickly. You can raise your hand, shake a leg, hallelujah, praise Jesus, whatever you need to do. But I wonder how many here know that y'all is singular, all y'all is plural, and all y'all's is plural possessive. How many of y'all know about all that right there, okay? All right. How many of you, I'm just curious, know that sweet tea needs to be drank from a mason jar? Come on, anybody? How many of you have drank from a water hose? Come on. Please, I love it. Now, this is the ultimate test. How many of you know the glories of something called chocolate, gravy, and biscuits? Come on, testimony in the house. All right. So y'all are country people too. I like that. We're going to be in the gospel of Mark chapter 2 this morning. While you're turning there, here's the story that a handful of you have already heard. Several years ago, I was at a rodeo. Actually, it was a bull riding event, all bull riding, all right? And I'm there, and at these events, I don't know if y'all are familiar that they have these things, but people get on the back of bulls and ride them, all right? So I'm there, these guys, and these bulls, they have their horns. They're not dehorned bulls, okay? Like, they can kill you, all right? So as they start out these events, they start with super wimpy bulls, right? And it's like a little bit of a show, but not a big deal, rookie riders. And then as the night progresses, they bring out bigger and meaner and uglier, nastier bulls so as to keep your attention, right? So we're about midway through. We're rounding third, actually, probably headed towards home. I mean, it's about 75% of the way through. And y'all, I'm telling you, I don't know how many of you watched cartoons growing up. When I was growing up, there was something called Looney Tunes. Anybody? Looney Tunes? Well, when you watched Looney Tunes and you saw a bull, it was a bull, y'all. I mean, it had horns that pulsated, right? Smoke came out of its nostrils, like it breathed fire. I mean, it was like you knew that this bull. Y'all, I saw this bull in real life, okay? This was Pine Bluff, Arkansas at Heston Stadium. Just to set the context up for you, I was sitting at least this high, probably higher. There's a dirt floor, if you've ever been to one of these events, a dirt arena floor. You've got about 6 feet high in concrete wall. On top of that, you have metal cattle gate, all right? LeBron James couldn't hit you in the forehead with a Frisbee if he tried, all right? Like, you're feeling good and safe and secure about life. So I'm sitting up there, and I'm watching this event happen. This guy, whoever he was, pulls the short straw. He's got to ride this bull. He gets on the back of it. If you ride for 8 seconds, you're considered a success. This poor guy rides for like 0.8 seconds, and now he's flying through the air like Superman, all right? And that wasn't enough for the bull because the bull was vindictive. So he's like, now I'm going to kill you. So he comes after the guy. Now, the rodeo clown, and listen, don't let the makeup fool you. A rodeo clown is a man's man, all right? Now, the rodeo clown, he comes running over there. He says, hey, listen, Mr. Bull, kill me instead. The bull's like, I will oblige you, okay? So now the bull's coming after rodeo clown. So now the rider and the rodeo clown have both left the arena, and now it's just the bull, and we're no longer watching it. It's watching us. It's daring us to enter into its domain. Now, I'm kind of watching this whole thing go down, again, from relative safety, feeling good about life. And then, y'all, a legitimate, now I was grown, okay? I was in my 20s at the time, all right? But a legitimate adult, we're talking Greg Sykes age, all right? That's somebody you respect and look up to and admire, right? This guy, he's sitting in front of me. He leans forward, y'all, I'm not kidding you. He sticks his thumbs in his ears and goes to this bull. And I'm like, at first, I'm like, that's funny. This guy, I like this guy, you know? I didn't like him very long. Because this bull, y'all, backs up. Listen, hand on the Bible, preacher. I'm not going to lie to you on Sunday morning in church. That's how you die, okay? All I know is this bull, I don't know what it did, but all I know is a matter of seconds later, y'all, this bull is in the stands with me. Now, I just saw, it's homicidal. I just saw it trying to, now, I was a newlywed. Again, I told you, lived on a farm. Mama raised me right on beans and cornbread and sweet tea, hallelujah. You would have thought I'd have said to my wife, hey, baby, stand behind your man, you know? I was screaming like a seventh grade girl. Help me, Jesus! I just saw this thing fly, and now my way of getting away, I run up the bleachers. I assume it can't run up the bleachers. So what it does, instead of coming and killing me, thank you, Jesus, it jumps now out of the stands, and it's down in the parking lot. And there's still people showing up at this event. So you got sweet little girls, man, 7 years old, pigtails. You know, ribbons, holding daddy's hand, holding mom, skipping, excited. I'm going to the rodeo. And we're like, you're going to die. So now the bull, rather than kill the child, again, thank you, Jesus, it turns and it goes towards four lanes of traffic. So the cops pull their weapons and they're about to cap this thing. All right. Now, the guy who owns the bull, I guess it made him a lot of money because it was probably demon possessed, gets on the back of a horse with a lasso, lassos this bull by the, do they have ankles? I don't know. Anyway, by the bottom of its legs, yanks it over about 0.2 seconds before this big old ton of beef becomes a piece of Swiss cheese, man. It was awesome. The coolest thing I've ever seen in my life. I'm telling y'all that because it perfectly illustrates how I feel scared to death having to fill the pulpit of my pastor, Greg Sykes. It is terrifying. Mark chapter 2, if you found your way there, if you don't mind standing in honor of the reading of God's word. Actually, you know what? Somehow the wrong text got to you. So don't put that text up there. That's the wrong text. We're going to look at Mark chapter 2. All right. And again, he entered Capernaum after some days, verse 1. And it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Father, thank you for your word. We pray that you'd bless the preaching of your word. God, I'm a simple country boy from the Arkansas Delta, and these folks don't need a word from me, God. They need a word from you. And so, God, we pray that you'd fill me with your spirit. God, that you would speak through me, that you would speak to hearts as I speak to ears, God, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. You can sit. Three things that I see here, because I'm a preacher, and that's the way my brain works, all right? Number one, I see worship. Now, let me set this up for you. What I'm talking to you about this morning, as we're planting out on the Arkansas Tech campus, this Hello Church, right? Depending upon who you read, as much as 85% of students will graduate from Bible-believing, Bible-teaching churches, go off to a college campus and say goodbye to the faith and goodbye to church for at least some period of time. We want to reverse that trend. All right. This church courageously is doing new things. One of my bosses, Dr. Sonny Tucker, stood in this pulpit at our state convention meeting back in November. And he said from right here, he said, the people in Arkansas are lost. We can no longer recognize turf. We have to see lostness and that we are responsible to God for the people that he's put in our lives. And he said, the status quo that we have, it's gotten there because we've done what we've always done. So he said, how are we going to reach them? And he said, I don't know. And everybody chuckled as if he was going to give us a grand scheme. And he said, no, really, guys, I don't know. We're going to have to do some things that are different. And that is what we are doing, things that are different. Does that mean that we have it all figured out? No. But there are three strengths of this church. The planting church, the mother church. This is really going to be a campus, if you want to know. We're using Hello Church, but I want you to think First Baptist Russellville on the campus. That's what I want you to think. That is what we're talking about. So what are some strengths that I see in this church? When I came to this church, I saw on the wall to know Jesus and make him known. That's my family's purpose statement. It was clear we needed to be a part of here. We have served here, right back here in this room. When I'm not preaching somewhere, and I preach a lot in different churches, a lot of times over the past year, I've been right back there in that control room, making sure these slides go where they need to go, behind the scenes, serving, all right? I believe in the local church. I believe in this church. These are the strengths I've seen here. Man, worship. Number one, in our text, it says that Jesus was in the house. And when it was heard that Jesus was in the house, man, the house was full. I mean, you couldn't even get in the door, all right? That is the appropriate response to Jesus. Now, we all know that in our day and in our culture, Jesus doesn't always get the response he deserves, but that is the appropriate response. There's all kinds of forms of worship. I've been in all kinds of different churches. I grew up all across the denominational spectrum. I read in God's word where David, coming into Jerusalem, following the ark, is dancing because he's celebrating the fact that God's presence is back in the city in that symbolic way. He's celebrating that. And his wife, Michal, like you got some popcorn stuck in your throat. That's how you say that. Michal, she says, you know what? That's undignified. David, you're king. He's like, look, no, I'm worshiping my God. And in that, I saw that was appropriate. In Revelation, John, the apostle, right? The BFF of Jesus, the guy who was closest of his 12 followers to Jesus, who knew him very well. When Jesus is ascended and glorified, and in that state that is described in the book of Revelation, it says that he doesn't go up and lean on him or any of those things. He falls at his feet like a dead man. And that is appropriate worship, right? There's all kinds of things, but this is what I see. This is not a sermon on how we ought to worship. I'm saying we got it going on, right? You all worship in spirit and in truth. That's what Jesus said to do. God is a spirit, and he seeks those who will worship in spirit and in truth. And when I'm in here this morning, I'm worshiping in spirit and in truth. And it's awesome that it's also with great excellence. All right, we want to take that DNA and infuse it on the campus. We're going to worship out there. We're going to have people who don't know Jesus come in and see in our faces the expression that, you know what, this Jesus thing is real to these people. All right? People don't care about our orthodoxy. They don't care how much we know. They want to know, is he real to you? And do you love me? So I see worship. The next thing I see is the word. It says that Jesus was preaching the word to them. Now think about this. Jesus, the living word, is preaching the written word to them. Did y'all know Jesus could walk on water? Right, if I could walk on water, I would preach, especially as a college pastor, I'd preach every sermon from the Aquatic Center. Listen, if there's skeptical professors on campus, I would challenge them to debate me on the deep end. Jesus could raise the dead, y'all. Can you imagine? I mean, this was excellent. Y'all, we've got it going on. This is so good. But can you imagine if the guy playing the drums this morning was a guy named Steve? I don't know if your name really is Steve. That's going to be weird if it is. But anyway, imagine that it's a guy named Steve that died of cancer 2 years ago. And Jesus, like, Lazarus, come forth. Hey, drummer, come forth. Right? It's like, hey, do you remember that dude Steve? We went to, dude, he's at First Baptist Russellville. He's playing the drums. Can you imagine? Jesus could have done that. Think about the revival that would have happened in the Middle East had he had a whole slew of people just following him. Yeah, wasn't that dude, wasn't he dead? Right? I mean, he had that, right? Remember that? He was blind. Remember, like, he couldn't walk. But imagine, you see, they were dead, right? But Jesus didn't use gimmicks. You see, Jesus had something more powerful. Come on. The Word of God. Jesus Christ is God. He is the Lord. He could have very simply sat down and said, let me tell you how it is. If anybody ever, if anybody's opinion on a matter ever counted, it was his. But what did he do? The Bible says he preached the Word to them. So here's the thing. As far as our DNA and what we want to infuse on the campus, y'all, we are blessed with our pastor. My goodness. If you agree with that, we just show him some love, actually. Come on this morning. Y'all, at this church, my family is here because we preach that the Bible is the Word of God. All right? It is perfect. And we don't apologize for that. If the Bible says something, you can take it to the bank. All right? It's true. I love that. And we're going to take that same DNA to the campus. How many of y'all know a college campus stereotypically is not always known as a place where the Bible is valued? But you better believe those of you who are going to be a part of this campus, we're going to preach the Word. We're going to take that DNA and we're going to take it out there. Here's the last thing. You see these guys, man, they've got a friend who's paralyzed. Now, I don't know if y'all know anybody that's paralyzed. I've known some people that were paralyzed. And if you're paralyzed, there's some part of your body that some, through injury or birth or something, you have really no control over it, right? And so maybe you can move your hands, but you can't move your legs, you can't walk, whatever. So their friend literally cannot get to Jesus. But they know, four guys, they know that if they can get their friend to Jesus, he can make all the difference in the world, right? And so they hatch a plan to get their friends to Jesus. And this is what I call, for the sake of the 3 points, the welcome mat. The welcome mat. They get their friend and they bring their friend to Jesus. That's a sermon all in itself, right? It's not like, hey, there's this dude I heard about. No, no, no. They get him and they carry him to Jesus. And then, y'all, I love it. As a Arkansas redneck boy, I love this story. Now, these guys, you know what they do? They show up. They can't get in. Now, you know what a polite church-going crowd would have done at this point? Well, I hope he's there tomorrow, right? We're going to go home. I'm sorry. You know, maybe we can send word. I know a guy that knows a guy. You know what these guys do? They climb up on the roof and start cutting a hole. Now, we read this, y'all, as a Southern Baptist Bible Belt congregation, and it's just like, oh, yeah, well, that happened. That's not normal. People don't do that. I mean, can you imagine in this brand new facility? We're worshiping. Things are, and all of a sudden, you hear chainsaws on the roof. I mean, somebody's cutting a hole. You're dodging pieces of insulation. I know what some people would do. Not our crowd. Our crowd is too good for this. But some people, you know what we would do? We would say, I didn't vote on that. It's funny because it's true, right? We're going to have to put a committee together, and we're going to have to argue for a little while over potato salad on what color the patch ought to be. But these guys didn't care, man. They had a friend that needed to get to Jesus, and they were going to get him there. Come on. Now, I'm talking to you, and I've got this task. Here's the deal. We sit here this morning in great comfort and blessing Did y'all know? I mean, did you hear the report a couple weeks ago how fast we're paying this thing off? Man, God bless you all. This is awesome. This is God-given. Can I tell you, when you go out on the campus and you set up and you tear down week after week after week after week after week, and I'm telling you from experience because we've been doing it with the BCM, guys, it gets old. It's tiring. It's not fun. Here, man, I mean, I'm speaking and y'all can just hear me clearly. How would you like to add some feedback in there just randomly? For no apparent reason whatsoever. You can come out to the campus and have that experience. I mean, I'm looking around, and can I just tell you, y'all look great this morning. I mean, y'all look wonderful, all right? Imagine coming out to the campus and sitting by somebody that they were up until 4 a.m. playing a game, and they haven't showered in 2 days. And you think I'm stretching the truth, but those of you who are cautious, you're going to sit by some of these people in their pajamas. But they're people that need Jesus. There's 9,868 people enrolled out there last fall. That's right here. For every 17 students, there's a member of the faculty. There's over 10,000 people every day, 10 months out of the year, with no gospel witness. Now, we're here. There's other great churches in our area that I serve that are here. But can I tell y'all, students don't leave campus like they used to. There was a girl, she's a senior. I was getting Pizza Hut pizza for BCM one night. And I was proud of that, y'all, because Pizza Hut pizza, I like that stuff. And I was proud. So I was telling them, I said, hey, guys, guess what, man, I'm getting Pizza Hut. I'm getting the expensive stuff for y'all, right? It's hot, ready, and expensive, you know? And it's the good stuff, right? And I'm excited. And she says, she's a senior. She says, we have a Pizza Hut in Russellville? You could hit it with a rock. There's no wonder that as Southern Baptists collectively, we're only reaching 150 college students of 10,000 people on a weekly basis. Guys, people are dying and going to hell. I asked our local associational missionary, Danny Green. I don't know if you're here this morning, Danny. You said I could quote you on this, but I said, what can I quote you on? He said, well, you can tell people. He said, we can go after those people or we can let them die and go to hell. And that's about what we got. Can I just tell you, we want to be intentionally multi-generational. We don't want a vanilla church or campus made up of just college students. We want it to be a whole bunch of college students, the majority of college students. I'm not asking for a great exodus to come to another campus. I'm not asking for that. I think the vast majority of you need to stay right here. But I want for God to provide a handful, a small number of people who are passionate about college students of all ages. I'm talking about, I want people of all ages. I'm talking about, I want people with white hair or blue hair, all right? I want people who have young children. I want people who have teenagers. Let me talk to you. You're a parent of a teenager? You want your teenager to value the things of God? Put somebody in front of them every week that's a little bit ahead of them, that they look up to, that they think that person's cool. And I hate this as a parent, but one day I'm not gonna be cool anymore. You're like, Brad, you ain't cool now, all right? But you put in front of your teenager that's wavering in their faith a passionate, Jesus-loving, devil-hating college student to model that for them every week. And that'll bless you. You say, man, I don't know. I don't know that I'm young and relevant and hip and cool or whatever. I mean, you know. Listen, college students take seriously the oldest person that'll take them seriously. When I was doing student ministry in Batesville, one of the greatest things we ever did was we brought a lady named Miss Peg, Miss Sylvia Peg. Miss Sylvia Peg, I want to say, was 103 years old. That's not an exaggeration. She was 103 years old. And she was serving every week as our church's Sunday school secretary. So she's in the office every week recording how many people are in. She's serving Jesus, 103 years old. And I asked her to come and speak to the youth. She said, they don't want to hear from me. I said, you don't know. They want to hear from you. So she comes over and we sit her down in the youth room and they fire questions at her and she charms them. And I'm just telling you, of all the things we ever did in Batesville, that was probably the thing that most of them remember the most. Now it's different out there. It's loud. It's not comfortable. It's okay, but it's not this. Beautiful thing is, you got young children, you don't have to give up Upward. You don't have to give up Awana. You don't have to give up serving in Awana. We don't do anything out there on Wednesday nights. You see what I'm saying? It's the best of all worlds. You come, plug into a small group on Sunday morning. Be a part of that. Come, listen to our awesome pastor preach exegetically through the word. You don't have to miss out on any of that, but then come and bring your spiritual gifts and your love for college students out to that campus on Sunday night, and you will change the world. You reach the college campus, you change the world. Guys, I'm passionate about this because of my story, and some of you who are at the Missions Bank have heard this, but I'm gonna reiterate it for you. You see, when I was a kid, my dad had grown up in a church and a denomination. I'm not gonna name it because that's tacky and we're not bashing other denominations. This particular denomination taught him, well-intentioned, but taught him that you had to earn your salvation. That if you want to go to heaven, you do all the right things and you avoid all the wrong things. And that's how you get to heaven. Can I tell you that is a lie from hell? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, right? So my dad figured out when he was a teenager, he's looking at his life, he says, I'm not good enough to go to heaven. Apparently I'm going to hell, so I'm just gonna chase fun and I'm gonna have as much fun as I can on my road to hell. So he begins to do that so that by the time I'm born into the world, my dad, he's not a bad guy, he's not an evil guy, none of those things. He was just what we call human. He had appetites, he had failures, he had habits and hangups and all those things. And he was addicted to drugs and alcohol, and he sold drugs out of our home in order to support his own drug habit. But when I was about 8 years old, a guy came by our door, knocked on a door, and let me tell you, you don't knock on the drug dealer's door, all right? Small town, this was Des Arc, Arkansas at the time. If you know Des Arc, it's like 1,800 people on a good day, all right? During steamboat days, that's when they take the census every day, every year. Knocks on our door, sits down in our living room, and says, Mike, you are going to hell. And there's nothing that you can do about it in and of yourself. But what you've missed out on is the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that God loves you in the middle of your addictions, in the middle of your habits. And you don't have to clean yourself up and come to him. You come to him just as you are, and he will change your life. And y'all, I watch as my dad now is a preacher. I'm talking about he went from selling drugs to studying God's word, sometimes up to 13 hours a day, praying, preaching the gospel passionately. I've seen what happens when people bring the simple gospel to all kinds of people. And they're all right out here, 10,000, 10,000. That if something happened at the nuclear plant, God forbid, and we all were gone, they're all in hell in an instant, the vast majority of them. But we're gonna go after them, amen? And I need some soldiers to go with me. I don't want everybody. There's some of y'all, you don't need to go anywhere. But if God puts a stirring and a passion and a love in your heart to do something for the next generation, we'll welcome you. Father, thank you for this congregation. God, thank you for the strengths that we have here. God, thank you that this is not really even a new church. God, this is a continuation, a launching out, a campus of what's already going on here, connected to this place and all that is offered here. But God, going as missionaries into a dark place. God, we pray that you would guide this process. And God, I pray that you would speak to the hearts of those and only those that you want to be a part of this endeavor. And have them to do so. And God, I pray that you would hound them till they say yes. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.